Welcome to the AEC Groundbreaking Growth Podcast,
hosted by Stan Balness. Welcome, everyone, to Groundbreaking Growth. I'm Emily, your host, here with co-host Jen Knox.
And we want to welcome our next guest, Matt Nichols. He is Principal of Acoustics at Jaffe Holden, and he's been with the firm for about 10 years and really has an interesting kind of background and progression. So Matt, I wonder if you can give us a little bit of background on Jaffe Holden, your role, and then kind of that path that you've taken to get there.
Great. Well, again, thanks for having me on this exciting podcast. It's very, it's good that you folks are doing this. It's very helpful in the community. Jaffe Holden, we focus on, well, first off, we've been around for over 50 years. We have a long history of the acoustical products that are in the industry that are being used right now. We focus on mainly performing arts, but also do some museum cultural work and higher education. We have a firm about 17 to 18 consultants in our Norwalk and remote offices across the country. And I've been there since 2010 and have had various roles with the company, but managed the acoustics department. Now I'm also involved in the marketing side of things and overseeing some management aspects of the company. Right. So it's a lot of diverse types of projects and very exciting.
Yeah. And your background specifically, I know you have this big passion for kind of music and kind of the built environment and how those two interact. Can you give us a little bit of background about kind of how you got to live your passion in your day to day?
Sure. Well, you know, I started off as a musician at a young age. In probably fifth grade, I got my first guitar and took piano lessons. And so I was always involved in the music programs through school and even through high school. And I always wanted to do something in the music industry and with sound. I was always passionate about sound and music. And I started working in recording studios in high school at a professional studio in Chicago, and as an intern, and did a lot of intern type tasks to learn the business, but was, you know, really passionate about it and had a great experience of working with professionals and hearing really good sound in a great acoustic environment in a recording studio that's calibrated. So it was like nothing I've ever heard in my life. It was eye-opening and ear-opening in a way. I remember the exact feeling I had when I went in that space, and similar feelings into great music halls to experience good acoustics. It just has an emotional connection and a physical, type of a feeling when you get into those spaces and a reaction. So through that, I ended up going to college to pursue a recording engineering career. And I really felt that I didn't want to do that as a career, but more of a hobby. And I was introduced to acoustics by a professor at Columbia College in Chicago, where I grew up. And he exposed me to the acoustics program there. And number one, I didn't have any idea about acoustics. I knew that it was related to everything that I loved and was passionate about. And I love a challenge. So I decided to join the program and ended up getting a degree in acoustics and ended up as a career in acoustics. So it's a career that in the acoustics field, it tied everything together between, you know, playing guitar and piano and performing in spaces in high school and in competitions, performing in musicals. We do a lot of theater work. So all that experience really ties into everything that I do when we do a Jaffe Holden on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm.
That's great. And you kind of mentioned your different roles that you've had at Jaffe Holden and how you've sort of started in the technical positions and then also pivoted to more marketing and business development and really being in that client facing role. But sort of throughout your career, that art of communication is something you've talked about. And how being able to speak the language because of your passion and because of your background in music, being able to speak the language of your clients is so hugely helpful throughout your career.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you just from a musical terminology standpoint, speaking to musicians that we work with, at the end of a project, if we're working at a performing arts center, we have a process that we, an acoustical tuning process. So we actually physically work with the orchestras and ensembles and work with their positioning on the stage, listen to them rehearse and have them go over different sections and listen to different areas in the audience, and make suggestions based on some of the acoustical elements in the room. And we communicate that and ask questions based on, you know, our experience and my experience in particular about, you know, what they're hearing and how they're hearing things and using music terminology and that, so you can speak their language and they have a mutual respect if you're communicating in their language and instead of from an outside perspective thinking they know something. And, you know, we've had firsthand experience, and that definitely helps with communication on a site and in a performance or when we're tuning the orchestra, which is very valuable, we found.
Yeah. And I think that that kind of end process you just described of kind of turning over the space to them, but also working with them in optimizing it, right? I just think back to more of a technical engineering background, and you know, when you're turning like a mechanical facility over to maybe a maintenance team or facility team, like going through that extra detail in that turnover process and making sure they truly understand it and it's working the way they want it to work. That's kind of that consultative mindset, right? We're elevating ourselves beyond just like engineering a building or a space, and really making sure the performance of the space is what the client needs. So I love kind of that kind of end turnover example you just gave. I think that's great.
Yeah, and it's different. You know, we do the turnover with the technical measurements of, okay, is this performing to the spec that we designed? Yeah. That's part of it. But then there's the human element that's, okay, everyone's ears are different and everyone has different minds and different, different opinions about things. And, you know, getting into the room with all these musicians, we're very opinionated sometimes about, you know, what their sound is like in the space, which is great because we appreciate that. And that kind of turns the scientific element of what we do to the human nature aspect, where communications are important. And that's where the project really comes to life, when you have live musicians in the space, not just acoustical test tones. And that's the most exciting part of the projects, from my perspective.
Yeah, great. And I know, Matt, you had mentioned a little bit earlier, kind of about having that mentor and that professor early on that said, hey, I know you have this passion for music and recording may not be the specific thing you want to do, but hey, what about acoustics? And I think about just the importance of having mentors, both, you know, in our early education and throughout our careers, and how they can help guide us and ensure our eyes are open to possibilities. I know in my career, just having like diverse exposure to different project types and different possibilities really benefited me in honing what I was passionate about. Do you feel like that's something that's true to kind of your pathway as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think, again, just being exposed to something that I knew about but really didn't know a lot about. And he was trying to sell me on the program too, because he wanted to expand the program. It wasn't a lot of students. It was only maybe 14 students on the program. Because acoustics is not, it's not like an architect. Acoustics, it's a really small, you know, niche field. And so the departments and the graduating classes of acoustics students are very small. So I think he's looking for the right people in the department to really showcase the college and succeed in a career eventually. So it makes the college look better, obviously. But he really helped show me the interesting things about it and how it could relate to my passion. So that was really important. He guided me through the process And he, the professor at Columbia College, he actually was a consultant. He had his own business. So a lot of the professors in at Columbia also are in the industry themselves. So they have, you know, current exposure to practices and consulting. They really know what they're talking about because they actually live it and are actually, that's their profession. So that was really useful to get the, you know, not just a book, textbook knowledge about something, but yes, this is what I did here and showed examples of what he did in this project and in this situation. So that was, I think, as a mentor, that really helped make it more real and not so theoretical all the time.
Yeah. And you talked to, so I'm in art school for graphic design, as well as working full time doing consulting. So being able to sort of keep up with clients and be in art school. And one of the cool things about my art school too, is the professors have to have some kind of employment currently within the field. And there's this feeling of that I get from the professors. And then I also get to translate into my work as doing outsourced marketing, of staying current in the industry. And because you're passionate about what your work is, you sort of translate that into continuing to learn in your industry and continuing to stay current on the trends, and especially within architecture, engineering, and construction. I mean, anything that you use a digital tool or software to produce your projects, there is a necessity to stay current on things. And you've talked a little bit about that, Matt, and how your passion keeps you current and keeps you learning within the industry as well.
Yeah. I part of what my goal was when I was transitioning to acoustics was to still be active in music and recording and composing. So that's, you know, that turned into a hobby for me, which I still do a lot of hobby work with recording and music composition. So I'm keeping my skills sharp, you know, as I, you know, do my full-time consulting career, but also I'm up on the latest technologies and software with recording and composing. So when we do a lot of music schools, and a lot of times we're in meetings and we're talking with the professors and what they want in their programs, and they have a space labeled composition space, let's say, for a music program. And having the background, I really understand what those spaces need to be. And then I think that, you know, it's changes a lot. As you mentioned, digital technology, software, it always is updated. You have to stay on the latest and greatest, because for composing, for example, back in the day, you know, composers had a piano and a notepad, and they would write out a composition on paper and then, you know, do a whole score and send it to the musicians, and they play it and record it. Nowadays, everything, 90% of it is in the computer, where you could have access to vast sample libraries of recordings of different instruments. And the composer has a keyboard, but he's accessing recordings of a violin or a timpani and a cello and playing it on the keyboard, but sounding very realistic. And oftentimes that type of composing and sample recording is used in television productions and video game music. So it doesn't, you don't have to have a $50,000 budget to hire an orchestra to perform something for some media. It could be someone out of their basement home recording studio doing something for Game of Thrones and actually using that. So that's what's related to some of our projects, where they have these music programs and composition spaces. You know, it's designed differently for that type of usage versus something that may have been done in the past. So understanding that and staying up on the latest technology is really helpful in that regard.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure with your passion, right, like you're testing things out yourself, like right at home or on the side, and right. What technology do you like? What technology don't you like? What would you recommend to your client? I'm sure, right, from a space design standpoint, what new materials are out there, mm-hmm. you know, and whatnot. So that probably gives you a potentially a leg up on maybe some competitors that aren't as involved or kind of truly living and breathing it even outside of work.
Right. Right. Yeah. I, my wife and I, every time we go out, it's always, I'm always listening or looking at things. And yeah. We were at Disney World last year and I was looking at some treatment in one of the lines of the rides. And she's just shaking her head like, no, you can't turn it off.
It's so true. It's like they say like contractor or architect or engineer, they'll like drive by a building they had a very small part in. And they're like, oh, there's my building. Right. It's not, yeah. It's not something you turn off when you leave the right. office. So I love that.
Right. Which is good. Cause I mean, it shows you that, you know, you're on the right track. And mm-hmm. you know, if you're not thinking about it all the time, then maybe it's something that's not right for you. But I find that kind of living it and breathing it every day, even after hours, and being able to experiment and looking at different types of products and evaluating them, even installing some of those products in my own house. And you know, we go to trade shows a lot and conferences, so we know what the latest and greatest is. And I'm going to a conference in a couple of weeks in Seattle, where they have a lot of theater technology and some acoustical products there that I'll be saying, well, okay, what's the newest product? Talk to the manufacturers, bounce some ideas off of them, because oftentimes we collaborate with manufacturers to try to optimize their products based on what we see in the field and what we think could be a better use of it or an improved version of it. So we've been doing that for years, and that's how we stay current and you know, with the newest technology and products out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that even kind of comes full circle, right? To that being able to speak the language of your clients and then also show them new things and open their minds to what might be able to optimize their space better than they even imagined and mm-hmm. be that trusted advisor. One of the things we talk a lot about is being a trusted advisor and really connecting with your clients. People hire people that they like and that they trust, and speaking their language, I'm sure, is something that I think is a little bit underestimated within careers, especially as a young person. You might not feel like you have anything to say, but that passion and being passionate about what you're doing and bringing that into the forefront of connecting with your clients, it sounds like that's benefited you, Matt, in your career tenfold, and just being able to make those connections.
Yeah, and it also starts, even, you know, we're talking about the communication and relevancy in the project with the musicians on the stage, but you know, it really starts before that. You know, when the building's under construction, you have to be communicating with the contractor and the design team of making sure that it's built correctly. And we're on site all the time. You know, we have our own Jaffe Holden construction vests that we bring to the site, and we're there getting dirty and looking, crawling through small spaces to make sure things are constructed properly. And you have to understand the language of the contractor of how things are built, you know, what terminology to use when describing something, because you often have to come up with different ways of addressing issues on site and coming up with a sketch. I've done a lot of sketches on site where I'm drawing stud walls and connections, and that's how you communicate with them to making sure that everyone understands each other. And that I find is very valuable too. So it's multiple levels of communication of different groups and different trades. It's all important throughout the process. And even in, you know, in someone's career, of having relationships with architects, with engineers, with end users that are, you work with on early on in projects, you know, maintaining those relationships are really important. And that's something that I've learned is, you know, you don't really focus on that when you're starting out your career, that yes, I've worked with someone on this project. It was fun. But then, you know, now getting into more business development roles, you realize that those having good connections, that one-on-one connection and staying in touch with those folks over time is important. and which leads to different, more projects eventually, and just a better relationship. And sometimes if, you know, you don't think about that when you first start off, but that's something that I think I've learned throughout my career, of the, just the importance of that connection.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, when you had said about kind of tailoring your communication for your audience, I think that's a skill that we learn as we progress in our career, because to your point, Matt, each audience member, each stakeholder in a project kind of has a different lens they're looking at it through, a different understanding and perspective. And if we as a project manager, principal, project executive understand that and can communicate in a way that is best received by them, we're only, you know, getting an even better product in the end. And those then connection points, if you maintain long term, to your point, is it's a great network to lean on to leverage for overall business success in the future and in that business development. So I love that.
Right. Yeah. And it definitely, everyone has, you know, everyone on the design team has different goals and different focus points. And from a client standpoint, you know, you have, let's say you're working on a music school project, and you're in a meeting with the theater department, the music department, visual arts department, and then you have facilities, and then a project manager that's overseeing things. Each one's focused on, okay, make sure the project's on budget, make sure that the facilities folks, that everything is easy to use and maintenance is considered for some of these systems. And the music folks are concerned about their music spaces. So everyone has, you know, priorities, and navigating that in a meeting and understanding where their priorities are and being able to communicate to each one individually, but also be aware that the sensitivity sometimes of the dynamic of the group has to have a strike a balance. And then also, you know, the performance of the space that you're trying to achieve acoustically and audiovisual wise is really important. So it's a balancing act, but understanding where everyone stands for and what their priorities are and how to communicate to those different groups effectively is also, you know, a really valuable skill and important on a project.
Well, Matt, it sounds like you have been able to take this passion that you've had for music at a very young age and connect the dots, weave it through your career, stay open to a new possibility that you, or path that you never even thought in your career, and just maintain that passion and continue your music and love for that and bring it to your career, and have it benefit you in so many ways. Any advice as we kind of close here, any advice for emerging leaders or young people in their career as they're setting up and looking at the different paths that they can take, and their passions, and they're figuring out where they can go next in their career and long-term, any advice for those emerging leaders?
Well, I would say that, you know, keep an open mind about things, and, you know, you may discover something that you didn't know about. And that's always, it could just come across one day that you're doing something and you see something that's very interesting and you're like, oh, this is really great. And you may want to explore something like that. But to me, it stems from, you know, how does it make you feel and how does it motivate you? You know, not just on paper and, you know, just a stable career, but, you know, how does it affect you, your kind of gut feeling and your passion and how motivated you are to work on these projects. If you're getting up in the morning and you're dreading going through your day, maybe you're not in the right career. Maybe that's a good indication that maybe you should look somewhere else and keep exploring. But when you wake up and you're excited to work on your projects that you're working on and the people that you're working with, that just to me tells you you're on the right path. And that's what I would, you know, suggest, you know, as signs of if you're on the right path or the wrong path, but keep an open mind because you never know where it could come from. And I didn't know until I was just started college, some folks are in high school and think that they know their full career path, but it may diverge and change, which is fine. It's part of, you know, experience of life and the journey that you're on. So don't close any doors that you may want to open in the future, and keep your options open.
That's great advice. Thank you so much, Matt. We really appreciate you being here. And this is such a wonderful conversation and hopefully helpful for those emerging leaders. As an emerging leader, this has been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.